Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 33 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled, Nothing Can Separate. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Now, to begin this teaching today, this one, the subtitle is Nothing Can Separate. Nothing Can Separate. So, even though there's so much going on in the world today, nothing can separate us from God. Now, that should be reassuring. It should be full of hope. There is actually nothing that can separate us from God, as much as there seems to be out there. And I was watching this one medical doctor, since my friend Dr. Craig no longer is in service. Watch this guy on YouTube. He's just a medical doctor. He just gives stats. That's all he does. He doesn't have any persuasion. I just like to go to him and see his stats. And one of his set of stats yesterday was he had all of the, in the last 12 months, all of the people that had entered hospitals and age groups. He called it something. If you have something wrong with you, I don't know what you call that. It's a fancy term, he called it. Of having different issues with your life, you know, different diseases or heart conditions or whatever. And he had all of these stats with everybody in all these categories. And the common statistic in all of the, any age group, he had it like in five age groups, any age group, the greatest reason you would be hospitalized with COVID would be obesity. I thought that was interesting, and that was the most common, if there's one thing that contributes to it, it was obesity. Do you know what the second one was? Anxiety. You watched the same thing? Fear. Did they? It's anxiety, fear. Now, what in the world? So all of a sudden, and then he went on down the line, the other, what is the, I don't know, five, six, seven most common reasons you would land in the hospital with COVID. And then it is if you would land in the ICU and then on a vent or not. And the second one was anxiety, fear. Now, you don't have to be too bright to understand this is a spiritual problem. You don't have to be even too spiritually bright to say, oh my goodness. This is truly a spiritual problem. How in the world could fear be the second leading cause of being hospitalized with COVID? Well, it lets me know one thing. Somebody's watching too much news. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody's watching too much of the... So, and we know that in the Bible, it says in the last days that the enemy will be throwing darts, it says. It says he'll be throwing darts or arrows, and these darts or arrows, the definition is trafficking communications. Trafficking communications. So we know the way that the enemy is operating these days is through trafficking communications. And so therefore comes a great, so fear is one of the greatest contributors to being hospitalized. Now, I'm glad he did not take a survey on how many were Christian and how many were non-Christian. It would just be interesting because as believers, we are to have hope in God. Now, we do not sidestep what's going on in the earth. Well, I want reality, because reality will test your faith. Reality will test the amount of hope we're operating in. So we are in a true definition or a true experience of our faith being tested, and even with an immediate virus like COVID on the scene, it can test ourselves if we're operating in fear or faith. Now, I want to give you a word of good news. Perhaps I'll keep somebody out of the hospital this morning with this little story here. I like to start sometimes, especially in Proverbs, things of wisdom, with little stories. Now, so the title, let me get this first. The book of Proverbs teaches the prophetic. Proverbs is a book of many contrasts, which requires the ability to make distinctions. And I make a big deal out of that because truth has distinctions that are not to be tampered with. Proverbs 10:2 says, treasures of wickedness profited nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Total distinctions. Now, I want to go into this little story here to make our point this morning. This one's a little more lengthy, but hopefully it will speak to us. Nothing can separate. From her bedroom window, Rebecca eyed the children playing in the snow enviously. How she longed to play with them. Now, Rebecca, she remembered her father telling her that morning, you can't play in the snow today. Why not, Father? Rebecca had asked. Every day, the neighborhood children gathered at a park just behind Rebecca's house. Just trust me, Rebecca. It's not what's best for you today. Her father had replied. At the time, Rebecca had responded by kissing her father on his cheek and assuring him that she would stay inside and read. But now she was having second thoughts. It's a beautiful outside, she thought to herself. It was true. The sun was shining brightly. Why wouldn't her father let her go play? Why should she have to miss out on all the fun? When a snowball exploded just outside her window, Rebecca decided she couldn't stand it any longer. She simply had to go to join the others. Leaving her book on the table, Rebecca slipped outside. She tried to tell herself she was having a good time, but all the while her heart felt uncomfortable. She kept looking this way and that, fearful lest her father see her. After a few hours, Rebecca finally said her goodbyes and headed back towards the house. She wanted to be safely lodged in her room before her father came home. Intent on getting to her room as quickly as possible, Rebecca didn't see the mitten someone had left on the stairs until her foot slipped on it. Next thing she knew, she had fallen several stairs. To her horror, she noticed that she had hit her father's favorite picture when she fell. A huge gash ran along the front of the picture. Normally, Rebecca would have hurried immediately to her father after such a fall so he could doctor her up and make her feel better, but not this time. How could she face her father right now? She had disobeyed him and ruined his favorite picture. Biting her lips to keep from crying out, Rebecca grabbed the ruined picture and hobbled to her room. For the remainder of the day, she lay in agony. Her body ached from the bruises she received on her fall, but her heart, all that ached worst of all. She felt certain that her father would no longer love her. She had messed up in the past, but surely this time she had gone too far. He would probably never want to speak to her again. How could he still love her? She sobbed uncontrollably on her pillow. She had always been close to her father. They had played and studied together. They had laughed and cried together, but not now. No, she felt certain that all those wonderful times were over. Who knows how long she would have lain, thus had not her nanny come in to check on her. Rebecca's nanny had a way about her of finding out exactly what was wrong and offering solid, wise counsel. Tonight was no exception. Rebecca, dear, she said firmly but gently. You've been very wrong, but you must not continue in your wrongness by sitting here. You must go to your father with a broken pitcher in your hand and telling him everything. Oh, but I can't. I'm not worthy of his love, Rebecca sobbed. Her nanny sighed patiently. You were no more worthy of it yesterday than today, child. Your father loves you because you're his daughter, not because of anything you do or don't do. Hasn't he told you every day since you were a little girl, I love you? Do you doubt his word? Do you really think his love is dependent on you? Doubt his word? That was an angle Rebecca had never thought of before. Maybe she should go see her father. Yes, she must go see him. For if she didn't, she never would be able to rest. So still shaking and trembling with fear, Rebecca limped down the hall to the living room. She paused at the doorway. Her father was sitting in his favorite chair, just like he did every night. He looked up when she entered, and a smile radiating with love illuminated his face. "Ah, you've come at last. I've been waiting. Come sit here on my lap." As he spoke, he opened his arms widely. Rebecca couldn't stand it. "Oh, you don't understand, Father. You can't love me anymore. I've been terribly wicked," and Rebecca held up the picture frame for Father to see. "I know, Rebecca, more than you think. I watched you outside. I watched you fall and hit the picture frame. I saw it all." "You did, Rebecca. Was flabbergasted. But weren't you at work?" Her father shook his head. "I took the day off to spend some special time with you. That's why I told you not to go outside and play. Ever since I saw you fall, I've been longing for you to come to me so I could bandage your wounds and help you. Won't you come now?" Rebecca could hardly believe her ears. Her father had planned to spend the afternoon with her, and she had missed it. Oh, what foolishness. Yet her father knew it all and loved her anyway. Could it be? "But Father, how can you love me now?" Rebecca's father smiled, a smile she would never forget. "Rebecca, dear, I loved you before you were born. You're my daughter, and I always love you. Although sometimes your actions will result in consequences you could have avoided, nothing can ever separate you from my love. Now, won't you come and let me help you with those bruises?" "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Amen. God loves us just the same. God loves us just the same. It's not about our performance. It's because he loves us that we have this great hope that no one else has. So it's not a matter to learn more about God is to love him more. It's not a matter of getting away with something, as it is working with him that we are after. Now, I just thought that little story of wisdom just showed the Father's love that he has for us in this day, and in this time, and in this hour. Now, as we're getting into the book of Proverbs, we're wanting to enter it in today and understanding that God loves us if we get it, if we work with these proverbs or we don't. God still loves us, but as he gives us his wisdom, it shows us how to know more about who God really is. So as we're looking with that, and we're looking at the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, I'd mentioned this to you last week. I'll hit two or three little things just as a reminder that we need to move forward. It has some divisions here. We have chapters 1 through 9, we call the beginning, short sayings in 10 through 29. That's the middle. And then the ending in chapters 30 and 31. So we see these short sayings. This is what we think about when we think of Proverbs. But in chapters 1 through 9, it covers a wisdom as a father to a son. I have it here. The book of Proverbs has moral logic. Some people say that God's wisdom and God's word is not logical, but it's very logical is what the truth is. It's very logical from a moral standpoint. So you've got to understand reasoning has two factions, and one is moral, the other is immoral. So God's foundation and faction that causes the process to work is moral logic. First, Proverbs is in six parts we see here. The first chapters 1 through 7, 8 through 9, is what we've called in the beginning. And this is what Solomon was saying, like teaching to a son. He was speaking, and he uses the term Lady Wisdom there. In the third and the fourth, chapters 10 through 29, 10 through 19 is the folly of sin. Then comes warning and instructions. This is what we call the short sayings of wisdom. And so, and then the words of Agar, the words of King Lemuel, is in chapters 30, 31, and this, of course, is the ending. So we see these three divisions, basically, now divided into six divisions. That's just for, it helps the memories to have things systematic. Wisdom is the spiritual gravity of the natural world. You can't see it, but it affects everything. Went over that some more last week, if you want more understanding on that. Wisdom's the spiritual gravity of the natural world. It's what holds things down. When you feel like things are getting out of control or out of chaos, there's total chaos, then you can understand that wisdom has not been operating. Can anybody say we don't have much wisdom operating today? Help us God. Now, I've introduced you to this term, chokmah, is the biblical Hebrew word of wisdom. It is a spiritual force that cannot be seen. Wisdom, so if it's a spiritual force that cannot be seen, but it is still a force. A force moves things. That's how you know it's a force. So wisdom is a spiritual force. As Christians, we feel like wisdom is optional. For some reason, I don't know why, which wisdom should be one of the first things that we're seeking. Now, wisdom is a great part of who God is. Now, chokmah is a moral truth that is woven into all creation. I've taught you that when God spoke forth his wisdom, that all creation of all the earth was created. Chokmah is not just learning, for it is part of God himself. Now, we hit this last week, and this is where we left off with distinction. Distinction is the necessary spiritual tool to see truth. Man is not to redefine what God has made a distinction. The reason of distinction being so important is you have to distinguish between a chair and a tree. And distinction is what causes us to define what truth is. And now we're living in a day, we've been over it, how distinction has, those lines now are being blurred. And so we can say that it is a totally spiritual attack. I mean, even with the thing like COVID or the vaccine, getting the vaccine, or I'm not going to get the vaccine, or, I mean, there's so many blurred lines out there now that people are confused. People don't know what to do. So now let me tell you something. The main thing that people do when they don't know what to do is nothing. Can you hear me? The main thing people do when they don't know what to do is they do nothing. So the goal of the enemy right now is that we'll do nothing. Can you hear me? Can you hear that? The goal of the enemy is to get us believers to do nothing about anything. So if you think your conclusions to everything is to do nothing, I'm going to tell you that to do nothing is probably not the right conclusion. So here we go. The book of Proverbs is not. Now, as I told you before, we're not going to read too much of the Proverbs. I really am expecting you as a class to do that. I'm going to show you the overview. I'm going to show you how the book is put together. So there's a lot to understand there when we approach this book. What the book of Proverbs is not, it is not law. It's not saying thou shalt not do something. We don't look upon it as a book of law. The reason we don't look on it as a book of law, can it contain a witness to the law? The answer is yes. But the book of Proverbs has given us instances of trying to see how wisdom works. So it's not the law. It doesn't say you do this. And don't. It's trying to get you to come up with a right conclusion. This whole idea. Now, Proverbs is not prophecy, thus says the Lord. It's not Can there be prophecy in it? The answer is yes. But is it prophecy per se? The answer is no. We've got to get what the purpose here is. The book of Proverbs is not just knowledge. We can say, well, wisdom is knowledge. Well, it's knowledge, but it's knowledge under direction of the Holy Spirit. You could say that. Wisdom is the heart of God in any given situation. Wisdom is the heart of God in any given situation. That's what we're looking for. Now, when we see this, wisdom is not only used in our own lives, but it's also used when we're giving counsel to other people in their life. So wisdom is the heart of God in any given situation. Wisdom, in the beginning, Adam and Eve partook of a tree that God told them to leave alone, and they didn't, so they took of that tree. He said, so upon that day, we then realized there was two things out here. One was called good, and the other one was called evil. So you've heard it said before, how good is good if God didn't want us to know it? God didn't want us to know good or evil. God just wanted us to think like Him. So you're not looking at Proverbs. The ultimate way to look upon Proverbs is to think like God thinks. If you're always comparing it to good and evil, it's still not quite getting it. In other words, if you when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that doesn't make sense how you could gain eternal life through the death of another person. Does that compute? Does that make sense? Does that add up? No, it doesn't. Point being, the way God thinks doesn't always add up to the way we think. But the reason I have been born again is because I have received that the way God thinks is greater than the way I think. Does that help anybody? But now our systems usually balance good and evil. That's the way we think. I'm just saying to you, wisdom works different than good and evil. Wisdom is greater than good and evil. And I'll show it to you here if I'll hush and get on with it. I'm going to show you that. Okay, let's look at it. Wisdom is the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit. So I told y'all several months ago I was on a quest, and this quest was to have a greater relationship with the Holy Spirit. I know everyone's hoping I'll speak in tongues. I'm all for it. I'm not against it. But I know that's always the definition. I had several, every time I say that, well, Alan, we're praying that you'll... Okay, well, you hadn't been praying as long as I have. So I know that's, but I'm going to let God define it, Doug, if that's okay with everybody. So in the light of that, I am on a quest to know more of who the Holy Spirit of God is, because I am convinced that I am going to need to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and moving forward. I said this a few weeks ago. I think I said, I'm going to pick a non-controversial topic, you know, to speak on. I know Pastor draws up when I do this. And I said, mentioned about COVID and getting the shot or not or whatever. And I said, well, everybody needs to follow, I think, the Holy Spirit, because I think some people need to take it. And I'm sure it's obvious some people don't need to take it, you know, because of the way some people react to it. And I was I've had COVID, and I've got real high antibodies. They're off the charts. And about a week or so ago, the Holy Spirit told me to get the shot. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Now, this is my problem with saying I want to hear more from the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of you I saw your faces, and it's okay. I'm not going on a third arm yet or anything. But the Holy Spirit, I know the Holy Spirit told me to get it. I'm like, Holy Spirit, why do I need to get it? I've got antibodies out the top. And do you know what his answer was? Silence. Total silence. I'm like, God, you got to help me out here. I said, I want to know why. Surely to goodness there's a good reason why. Total silence. None whatsoever. So I said, well, whatever. So I got it. And the reason I did, though, was because I believed that I heard the voice of the Lord. And since I've been on this quest, it's getting plainer and plainer. I'm not saying I've got perfect hearing of the Holy Ghost yet, but I will tell you this, to me personally. Now, am I recommending you to get it? You're going to have to get that on your own. I had to die for it, and you will too. And you just have to, it's all on your own. You got to hear from God. You've got to hear from the Holy Spirit. And if you do or you don't, I have no judgment, because I've been both places, and I like me pretty good both times. So it has nothing to do with that. But what's pressuring me is to hear the voice of God. How am I going to move forward in hearing the voice of God? Because we are now in a landscape to not hear the voice of God. This could be devastating. Two things happened. I got the shot, then I got a call from a friend of mine who wants me to go to Columbia. There's 3,000 churches coming together, and this is a big, long story. And he said, Alan, oh, yeah, they won't let you in over there if you don't get your shot. And I'm like, well. Then I got another one. I got to have surgery in October. Doctor called. I said, hey, Alan, you can't get surgery. They won't do surgery on you without the COVID. I said, oh, you're kidding. So God was gracious to me that I heard his voice. I should or should or not. I say, yes, I had to for God. But it's amazing. Would have those other things happened if I hadn't heard his voice? I don't know, except I'd have been in a mess had I not. So there again, I'm just saying this. We are living in a time that we have got to rely on the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're not in a pope-priest situation here that the pope says something and then everybody knows that's God's voice to them. No, we're the persuasion. Everybody hears from the Holy Spirit themselves. I'm sure you don't have any problem disagreeing with me at other times, right? And now, and as Bereans, we're supposed to go home and check out what the guy says. You're supposed to check out what I say. And if you disagree with me, it's totally not the issue. I mean, that's what creates truth. We're in a situation that you can disagree or agree or... That's not the basis here. So anyway, well, I made more of a confession than I meant to make. Here we go. All right. Wisdom is the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit. It's what I was saying was we've got to hear the Holy Spirit here. Now in Matthew, now follow my little train of thought here. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Huh, look, that's interesting. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's a lot of power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and do what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them. See that? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So there's two things going on there. Evidently, teaching and baptism is not the same thing. Anybody see that? Yeah. Evidently, baptizing and teaching is not the same thing. So he says, and baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. So, and then he says, teach them. So I can see a distinction between baptizing and teaching. So some things of the faith we'll get through baptism. And some things we get through teaching. I'm wanting more of the baptism of the Holy Ghost right there. I'm wanting, go on record, I'm confessing out loud as I can, that I want more baptism of the Holy Spirit than I've ever had. Yeah. I don't care if I got to dunk in the water or in the ocean or where. It's going to require more of the baptism of the Spirit. That means the opening up of the Spirit to me in my life. as we move forward. So he says to baptize, and he says to teach and observe. Now, keep in mind, wisdom is the heartbeat of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, now, wisdom is part of God. Jesus says all authority has been given to him. When you got born again, you received Jesus Christ into your heart. That means something. It totally means a lot. I know I've said this before. A lot of Christians want to have great spiritual experiences outside of their body. A lot of prophetic people want to go up and out and all over. But I think the greatest spiritual understanding to achieve is to understand who this is, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I think that's the ultimate of spirituality, is to understand part of who Jesus is, but also to understand wisdom is Jesus. That's what I'm wanting us to get. Wisdom is Jesus. So wisdom is the heartbeat, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is understanding what God would do in any situation. That means we could get pretty smart, right? Right. So there's this part of Christianity that we're to be, I'm going to use this term, walking in, to walk in the Spirit. So to walk in the Spirit means that I am walking in and observing, and I am seeing what God would do in any given situation. A lot of that's taught, and a lot of it's caught through baptism of the Spirit. Now, keep that in mind. I'm trying to say something that's hard to say a little bit. The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. Right? Is everybody okay with that? The Spirit of the Lord is, when you read the Spirit of the Lord this, the Spirit of the Lord that, and you read the Holy Spirit, it's the same person. Now, let's look at this in Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We know this is speaking about Christ. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding, it says, or another translation, it's delight. If you look in Hebrew, it looks like it's delight. King James, it was translated quick understanding. In the fear of the Lord. In other words, he's saying, you delight in the fear of the Lord. There's a delight there. We'll look at that a little closer. And he shall not judge. Look at this now. Here's what the Spirit of the Lord does to you. You shall not judge after the sight of your eyes. Can somebody say amen? Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, would somebody say amen? Okay, you just got shut down from CNN, NBC, Fox News, and the like to come up with any understanding on COVID or anything. You just got shut down if you're using that for your spiritual resources on this is what God's saying. Just giving you the truth. But with righteousness, okay, we're going to change gear here. With righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay, what? The wicked. Now you can say, well, Alan, what about Afghanistan? The only thing I can tell you, it's wicked. Is that slipping God? No, it's not slipping God. Is God going to bring judgment to it? The answer is yes. All right, I can say that with all confidence. The answer is yes. But what I want us to see something here, there's something called the Spirit of the Lord. And so you're looking at it. This is what came upon Christ. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord, quick understanding or delight. So when I'm baptized in the Spirit of God, it means that can operate in me. Can you see that? That should be operating in me, which is wisdom, understanding, counsel and might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. Remember in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning. And quick understanding or delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, I want us to look at it a little further. Wisdom. Just a little quickie here. This is not exhaustive. Wisdom is a gift that allows a person to understand things from God's point of view. Now, that's huge. I want you to shift from wisdom in our understanding is somebody's just real smart. That's not what biblical wisdom is. Wisdom is seeing something from God's point of view. Now, wisdom allows a person to recognize truth. Now, in this day that we're living, come people, for us to recognize truth is tough. You say, well, Alan, that shouldn't be. It is. You're believing. I promise everybody in here is believing something that's not true right now about the situation of the earth. I guarantee you. We're all been indoctrinated by things that are not true. Now, this much I can tell you. There's a difference in me passing a judgment on any given situation. Establish that thought. There's a difference in me passing judgment on any given situation. And for me to look at that same situation and look at it from God's point of view. Are you with me? What happens with us, we quickly want to judge this or that or what. That's not the point. The point is not for us to judge if it's good or evil. Our point is, here's the situation. What's God's point of view on this? Right? Now, if we're not careful, we're very distracted by good and evil. Remember, God has a righteous judgment, which means He's always looking at a situation, but He always has redemption in mind. Are you with me? God always, I don't care how bad the situation, God still has redemption in mind. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. I already told you that. Just because God thinks it and this is what God wants, it doesn't always happen. Now, let's go to this one. A person with the gift of wisdom can take this truth and use it. As the person who recognizes truth can take the gift of wisdom can take this truth and use it to glorify God by choosing godly solutions to problems. It's not your persuasion. It's not my persuasion. This is what we call the third side. The third side is using godly solutions to problems. How can we know what godly solutions are? Well, they're in God's Word for sure, but the Holy Spirit brings it to us. Now, what's understanding? Understanding is comprehension. Now, I looked up understanding to be sure I understood it all right, and it said it's comprehension. I said, well, boy, that helped me a whole lot. What's comprehension? An example of comprehension is how well you understand a difficult problem. That's what comprehension is. It's how well do you understand a difficult problem. Then it's got counsel. Does anybody have people coming to you to fix their problems? Through this gift of the Holy Spirit, we can judge how best to act by wisdom. Counsel is, listen, as a believer, you should be drawing people with problems. Anybody got a witness to that? Yeah. People with problems will come to you. It's called the Holy Ghost is drawing them to you because you have this spirit of wisdom within you. God's not wanting you to give your opinion. Can somebody say amen? He's wanting you to use wisdom, which is God's observation and understanding to any given situation. Because of the gift of counsel, Christians need not to fear to stand up for the truths of the faith because the Holy Spirit will guide us and defend us in these truths. That is counsel. A lot of people don't think that comes under counsel. But counsel, a true person of counsel, like under this Hebrew term here, the true term of counsel is you're not afraid to tell the truth. Can somebody hear me? We're not afraid to tell the truth. Even if we're a little afraid, we do it anyway. We're more afraid not to tell the truth than we are the truth. That's what is meaning by this word. Now, might, it's in the scripture, it says might. That's calling, another translation would say courage. That means that you have great courage. To have this baptism of the Spirit means that you've got courage. And I've asked God to give me more of that baptism of courage, of might. Because I'll be honest with you, you can come up here and you can speak. You can sit there and you'll say, God, give me the courage. Let me tell the truth, and yada, yada, yada. And you get up here and do it. Then you walk out that door and you think, boy, I say it was terrible. I just went plumb out. I just didn't do a thing right. And so you're under this constant battle, as we all are. A person who has the gift of might will stand up for good against evil and is convicted to take a stand when the occasion arises. We will not sidestep. That's what that part of this Holy Spirit is. Now, of knowledge, the word knowledge is a spiritual gift listed in 1 Corinthians 12:8. It has been associated with the ability to teach the faith, but also with forms of revelation like prophecy and the like. It is closely related to another spiritual gift, the word of wisdom. The next one here was the fear of the Lord, and then there'll be one more. The scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is to do what? To depart from evil. That means we must avoid evil or anything that lures us to do evil or wickedness. Staying away from sin as a child of God. In other words, there's things that we can do. To avoid something means you're probably going to fail if you don't. Can somebody hear me? When the Holy Spirit says for you to avoid this, it's because you're going to fail if you do not avoid. Quick understanding, it says in the KJV. Other translations, it'll say the word delight of the fear of the Lord. It says quick understanding of the fear of the Lord, or the delight of the fear of the Lord. Now, what in the world does that mean? This is someone who understands the greatness and awesomeness of the Lord. To delight in the fear of the Lord means you are fully aware of the greatness and the awesomeness of God. He said, well, Alan, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. I have grown cold to the awesomeness and greatness of God. I can say the words, but I'm not moved. Can anybody hear what I'm trying to say? We can come in here and worship and sing about the greatness and awesomeness of God, and me not be moved. I cannot be moved. I've done it hundreds of times. Come right in here, and I can kind of barely be moved. Does anybody know what I'm trying to say here? Well, what that means is I'm not delighting in the Lord. I'm not delighting in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is you get it. That's what the fear of the Lord means. You get it. You get what the Lord is, and that is in His greatness and awesomeness. They want us to serve Him because of who He is. A person with the gift of fear of the Lord understand who they are and why they are here in relationship to God. In other words, everything they are is due to the wonder, love, grace, and perfection of God. They are totally dependent on the Lord. Totally dependent upon the Lord. When we're totally dependent upon the Lord, then the gift of depending upon the Lord is to be delighted. You are persuaded. And guess what? You don't have the fear of the world. You have the fear of the Lord. Oh, mercy, I'm going to have to stop already. To live using wisdom was introduced to the world through Solomon. This is where we're getting into the writer of Proverbs. Chokmah uses God's knowledge plus action. Chokmah does not redefine good and evil. True Chokmah is humble. And we will begin here next week with Solomon. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding. Lord God, it is our prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would baptize us, this congregation. I pray that you would baptize us, O God, in Chokmah. That you'd baptize us just like you did Solomon in wisdom and understanding. And I pray, O God, as a congregation and those watching online, that this baptism of your Spirit would be the fear of the Lord. And in this baptism of the Spirit and in the fear of the Lord, that we could truly walk in your Spirit, have the characteristics of your Spirit. We could have the grace and the mercy, but we could hear your voice to us all as individuals. Be with us all, God. Bless us. Be with us in this time of worship, and let your will be done in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.